The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Okay, I'm very excited about today's episode because this is something that I have been deep diving into on my health and wellness, and it has been a journey, to say the least. I will just give you like the teeny tiny taste of what I've done with my health lately. I mean, bringing it way, way back, I had a colonoscopy at, I think it was 14 or 15 years old, like truly had digestive issues from the get-go. I've been on birth control since I was 13. I more recently got off when I was 26. But I was still struggling with weird things like random flare, like likely hormonal acne, but I didn't know. I mean, I still was reverting back to really bad period pains, which is why I got on birth control in the beginning of my whole journey with health and not knowing what the hell's going on. Struggling with like fatigue and like bubbly gut and like, sorry, TMI, but fluffy poop that like was really weird. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Not knowing what I'm intolerant to and not knowing if that's affecting my psoriasis. Like I had been to doctors, I had been to specialists. The problem was, is they were focused on their lane and their lane only, and that's not their fault. That's what their specialty is. So I decided to take a leap of faith and go to an integrative medicine place, specifically Minneapolis Integrative Medicine for my Minneapolis folk. And I actually have the owner and doctor sitting right next to me. She's like, hi, Cassie Wilder's here. And I am so excited for this episode because I think I struggled with all of this and I wish someone had done the digging and the research for me and exposed me to integrative medicine earlier. And it wasn't until hearsay that I was like, oh, I could go there. Okay. All right. I'm open to it, you know, but then you think all the nuances and information about integrative medicine, they're like, well, no, they're herbalists and they're not actually doctors and all this random fake information.
Like, I think in today's society, the word integrative medicine has become so diluted that people don't even know what the heck we even do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't think this is necessarily a fully negative thing, but anywhere from like nutritionists to, you know, more holistic practitioners that do, you know, nutrition response testing, muscle testing, Reiki, other, but they're all using the term integrative medicine. They're all using the term functional medicine. And so when people look at me and they're like, well, is that what you do? It's like, no, I'm a doctor. I practice medicine. I just happen to do it in a very specific way and have specific beliefs. So if we can better define the term, and I think it would be easier for you and for other people who are looking for someone something that we have to find us.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, why don't we dive in? I'll give your bio after this, but because you're on it right now, like what is integrative medicine and who is the right person to come see you? Because you're about to answer that question. Right
I away. Was about to answer I know, it. I was stabbing
no.
myself.
No, go ahead. I like that. I want to ride right in.
Okay, so integrative medicine, in my definition, is going to be the best blend of conventional medicine. So we've got the diagnostics, the imaging, the lab testing, the same like critical thinking of how to go from symptoms to diagnosis, mm-hmm. that aspect of conventional medicine. And then we have traditional medicine. We've got the herbs, supplements, IVs. We've got really root cause, root focused approach, and we blend them together. And okay. So we're practicing medicine. We are just overlapping two different worlds and putting them together for people.
I wonder why they have to be different.
I don't think they have to be different. I think that the way that we were trained in our thought process is so unique. I mean, there's a sector of people who think that I'm a witch doctor. So
really?
Oh God. a topic like, yep, for another time. Yep. there is a sector, and even in conventional medicine, they will say what we're doing is not evidence-based. They'll say what we're doing is just, you know, I don't know. They have lots of negative things to say about how we're practicing in our thought process. And like, that isn't actually what happens. But when you see it and you live it and you talk to people's experiences and you're leading them through these treatment plans and they're getting better and they're telling you straight from their mouth, how am I the person to say that this medicine isn't working when it obviously is working?
Yeah.
Fully RCTs, studies, it doesn't matter. People are getting better.
They're getting healthier. What, can I ask really quick, what made you want to go into integrative medicine? Because you could have easily chosen the more well-known air quotes route of general medicine or specialty medicine.
Yeah.
Why this type?
I've always wanted to be a doctor my entire life. Mm-hmm. When Legally Blonde came out, I wanted to be Elle Woods.
Wait, didn't we all though?
Didn't we all? Yeah. I had my quick stint in wanting to be a lawyer and then realized no. So went back to medicine. And in an undergrad, I had a really amazing opportunity to do a rotation with a gastroenterologist at the hospital. Wow. I went to Iowa State in Ames. And so I got to do this rotation with him and it really opened my eyes. So, going into that, I thought medicine was like the mecca of, mm-hmm. of health. You have a problem, you go to your doctor will solve it. And that is what we do. That is what doctors do. And through my experience, he was an incredible clinician, but I just remember leaving feeling like we just referred that person on, or he says there's nothing wrong with her, or we're just doing another procedure. We're not actually helping people. We're not actually treating people. And I'm very confident in that he was not malicious, that he was a very good person and clinician. But I just remember leaving that experience feeling maybe doctors aren't the mecca of medicine and right. I'm not going to do this. So I actually stopped. I withdrew my application to med school. I decided not to be a doctor from that point because there was no way that I was going to try to go into a profession where at the end of the day, I wasn't going to do anything for anyone.
Yeah.
So I left, whole side, story of moving to Alabama and doing all the things. Oh, and then found out about naturopathic medicine and decided to become a naturopathic doctor after I met someone. And she was talking about methylation genetics and how we use nutrition to push methylation genetics. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to use food. I want to use stress management. I want to use sleep as medicine to help people, not procedures, not medications if I don't have to. This is what I want to do. And I just remember that feeling sitting there listening to her at that conference. And that conference was in October. I applied in November. I got in and I moved to Phoenix, Arizona in January of that year to go. It was like this magnetic pull. I had to go and I had to do it. And since then, I love school. It was so amazing because in cardiology class, you're learning how to prescribe antihypertensives to someone who has high blood pressure. And then at the same time, they're like, okay, instead of this or in conjunction with this, you could do this dietary approach. You could do this herb, but you can't do that herb because it's contraindicated with this medication. So you're learning both sides of it. And so when someone comes to you and they have high blood pressure, you can say, here's the conventional option. Here's the natural option. Here's what I think is best for you. What do you want to do?
That's literally the experience I've had at your practice, which is this is not a plug, by the way. This is literally just me being I'm getting healthier going to you guys. I'm going to say it because I always overshare maybe, but whatever. I had SIBO and came back in my gut, in my GI mapping.
Ooh.
And the doctor, Melissa, was like, you can either do this what is it called?
An antibiotic.
Antibiotic, whatever. Yep. I think it was actually. So antibiotic or this herbal route. And actually they have the same rate of getting rid of it. And you can choose whatever one you want to do. Yep. And obviously, no brainer in my mind, I'm going to choose the herbal route.
Yep. Right?
Because there's pros and cons. And the antibiotic is going to upset my tummy, which is just usually what happens because it kills all the bacteria, not good and bad, really. I'm generally speaking right now. But the herb is, it's going to target exactly what I want it to target. So why wouldn't I choose that one if we have all the information?
Yep.
It's just crazy. And I think what you're doing is amazing. And I had no idea it existed until recently when I had a few friends who actually also had SIBO. And also one had PCOS, one has endometriosis.
Yep.
Friends going to your practice and just being like, I'm actually healing. It's crazy. Or I've got celiac, or I actually found out that I'm gluten intolerant, which is what I found out. And all these things that are changing their lives.
Yep.
Where we've been covering it up for a really, really, really long time. So anyway, I just props you. And also being a business owner and I can't even stop. So you, I just want to talk about Dr. Wild really quick for a second. Is she, you have a passion for hormone health, thyroid disorders, helping patients connect the dots between symptoms and feeling, they're feeling and finding the root cause. It also has led into hormonal imbalances, and adrenal fatigue, right? So just, yeah, that's a ton of what you're working on every single day, which is so freaking amazing. I think that's so, I just love it. I think it's so cool. Before we dive deep into each of those topics, will you just tell us how someone can go about finding a good naturopathic doctor? Because that was a lot of questions that people wrote in.
Yeah. So there's naturopathic doctors. We have a national organization. Mm-hmm. So it's the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians. You can search by state and you'll see doctors in your state on a directory. If you're in Minnesota, we have a Minnesota-based association, MNAMP.org. I will say that my best recommendation is to go to one of these associations, find the list of doctors that are in your area, and use your intuition.
Okay.
Because quite honestly, I personally believe, and I think many people would agree with me, that the way that you're going to get the best results from your practitioner is, yes, that they're smart and they're capable, which you can really bet on if you're finding it through one of these accredited, and, you know, legitimate sources, but then use your intuition about them, because the magic is going to happen when I like you and you like me and you trust me and I trust you, that you're going to be compliant, you're going to be safe, you're not going to go rogue, and that you trust me that I'm listening to you. And so if we can have that partnership and we can create that relationship between us, that's where the magic's going to happen. And if you think I'm a jerk, or if you think that I'm lying to you or withholding information, you're not going to do what I tell you to do. And, you know, if I think that you are, you know, going off the rails and taking too much of something, or you're, you know, lying to me about X, Y, and Z, like, I'm not going to trust you either. And so I just think that using your intuition to find your provider, once you can source them from, you know, a state association, there's many of the states, I'm pretty sure all the states have a state association. There's IFM, which is Institute mm-hmm. of Functional Medicine. That's where, like, conventional providers typically go back and get some form of, like, functional integrative medicine certification. So you can find people on that website. And then just use your intuition.
Be smart about it.
Be smart about
it. It's funny. It's reminding me of, like, when I've heard about finding a therapist, and, like, if you don't like them, you don't have to work with them. If they don't like you, they don't have to work with you.
Exactly.
And also, I think we've normalized this, like, doctors are really smart, so they, like, maybe are a little, like, off, and, you know, that's just normal. And if they piss you off, you're like, oh yeah, well, you're a doctor, so that's all totally cool. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
We're moving into, like, thyroid disorder, hormonal imbalances. But one last thing I want to say is, like, the everybody's inflamed normalization just drove me berserk. And that's what made me really go in and be like, why am I inflamed? I mean, psoriasis is an inflammation disorder.
Correct.
And I'm going in, you know, for example, I go to a dermatologist. I ask them, why do you think I have this inflammation? And they say, oh, well, it could be a number of things.
I think inflammation is a cop out.
No. Okay.
Inflammation, I think, is a cop out. I think the umbrella term IBS is a cop out.
Okay.
It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, I figured out the answer to your problems. You're inflamed.
Thank you.
Bye.
I actually already knew that, because I'm either shitting my pants or my head is flaking. Like, it's like, I can't with that. It drives me insane. And I got diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, and gastritis and acid reflux.
A gastritis means inflammation of your stomach lining. Thank you, ma'am.
Guess what? I didn't even know that that was what it meant, because they just said, when I got my colonoscopy, mm-hmm. you've got gastritis and acid reflux and colitis.
And people look at that and they're like, you just solved all my problems.
Yep.
Gastritis? No. Oh my. And they attach themselves to that. And, like, I just so wish I could shake them and be like, he just told you your stomach's inflamed. And if you didn't already know that because you're doubled over in pain every single day after you eat a meal, then, like, you didn't need to pay for that.
I mean, but everybody's being fed all this information that's inaccurate, or it's like half truths. I mean, we talked about this a little bit before of, like, you know, people wrote in being like, how do we decipher the information on TikTok?
Oh,
would you like to actually answer that real quick?
I can try. I think that TikTok is really good for giving, opening up people's eyes to different subjects, right? Fair. It's a platform for people to say, you know, I had, you know, an itchy butthole and it turned out it was parasites.
Yes.
And people are like, wait, I have that too. I could have parasites. Mm-hmm. And it really can open your mind up to all these different differential diagnoses that you...
Sorry, my cat just came in and bumped the camera. So I'm like, oh my God, Scotty.
It really opens people's eyes to a list of differential diagnoses. I think where TikTok goes a little bit nuts is that not everyone has all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so I guess my best recommendation would be, you know, you see an influencer or someone on TikTok that's talking about their experience and you're still trying to figure out your health journey, write down that list of differential diagnoses.
Yeah.
Do I have parasites? Question mark. Do I have, you know, SIBO? Question mark. Do I have, I'm not on TikTok really, so I don't really know what they're saying.
Lyme.
Do I have that Lyme? Question mark. And then take it to someone and say, this is a list of things that I think that I might have. And people have come to me with that list. And I actually really like that because I like working with people who are very invested in their health and who really want answers.
Yes.
I like people who are advocates for themselves and who are going to push me to be better and think harder and think outside the box and really get to that answer. And so if I was like, she thinks that she might have Lyme. She said it was, these are the reasons she said she might have it. Okay, these are what I know about Lyme. Let me ask these questions to her and we can start having that conversation around, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. And then I can say, you know what? This doesn't seem like Lyme.
Yeah.
Let's keep it on the B list, but actually I think it might be this. Let's put this on the A list. Go here. If we've checked off everything on the A list, let's go to B. That sounds great.
You guys search for the core. You search until you search until you search until you find what you're looking for. And that's why it's changed so many people's lives.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I got a write-in. I know this is kind of like a side shuffle to our hormone conversation, but this one was a call-in and I'm going to play it and we're going to answer this woman's question because I also ran into the same situation and didn't really know if this was the right move for me. So let's check it out.
Hey, Sid. I'm just calling because I have an appointment for a new IUD coming up, and with the internet these days, it's really hard to discover if birth control is really a right thing for me. Obviously, I don't want to get pregnant anytime soon. I have had the same partner for the last 3 years, and definitely a child is not in the picture at the moment. However, I'm at the same time, I really want to heal my body and potentially get off birth control. There's so many fads out there that say birth control is so bad for you, and I really just want to know the truth and if getting an IUD is really a good fit for me. It's worked really well for me in the past. However, I think I just was looking for some better guidance as far as like different forms of birth control and if they're really as toxic as the internet pans them out to be. So any help would be really appreciated. I'm not sure if you have anything like this coming up anytime soon, but I would love some feedback. Thanks. Bye.
Tough situation to be in. And I appreciate you calling in. As always, I say this every time anybody calls in because you're sharing something really intimate and I really appreciate you being honest and open. But I ran into this where I could have gone on birth control for another, you know, maybe 10 years. I don't know. What did you, when you're hearing her, what are you hearing?
I hear someone who has not been properly informed consent on their decision. To me, I'm not for or against birth control. Do I like it? No. Am I going to tell someone to not do it? No. I've prescribed birth control once, maybe twice, because it can be helpful. And if having a baby is the worst thing that could happen to you at this exact moment and you don't feel like you could abstain from sexual intercourse during your ovulatory window, birth control might be the best option for you.
Yep.
If you can sit down with your provider and you are, you know, okay, this is the birth control option that we're talking about. Here are the pros of an IUD. Here are the cons of an IUD. Here are the other spectrum of birth control. You know, an IUD, like a Mirena, is hormonal. It's progestin-based. There are IUDs like copper, which is non-hormonal based. You've got oral contraceptive pills that are generally progestin and estrogen-based. Mm-hmm. If her provider could go through the spectrum of her options, talk to her about her hormonal health. What was your cycles like as a teenager? Is there other reasons you might want to go on this outside of pregnancy prevention? Cramps, you know, cycles that are irregular. And this might be, you know, PCOS. This might be something different. Having her track, I personally do the natural family planning. So yeah. My Aura will track my temperatures.
Same. Aura friends.
Mine's on my middle finger, so I probably shouldn't.
Let me show you. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> The tracking your temperatures, tracking a few ovulatory cycles, and really mm-hmm. getting to know your body. And then following its signs, knowing that you can really only get pregnant for 2 days before and 5 days after you ovulate, and either abstinence during that time frame, yep. using condoms, being, you know, using condoms and withdrawal method. If you can really get to know your body in a very intimate, intense way, you can prevent pregnancy, and you have to follow it, which is hard because generally a hormonally healthy around ovulatory woman is pretty horny.
Yep.
So you don't really want to abstain from sex during that time frame, but you have.
That's the truth.
Yeah. You just have to, you know and take other measures. But what I heard was a woman who wasn't properly informed consent and yep. doesn't know, do I think birth control is toxic? I do not like the estrogen progestin-based oral contraceptive pills.
Yep.
I'm pretty against those. Will I still tell some, would I ever make anyone feel shame for taking them? Absolutely not. Because mm-hmm. if they were properly informed consent, they know what they were doing. They knew the risks. They knew they had a plan for coming off of them and what that looked like. Great. That is your autonomy. That is your choice. That is your decision. And you were properly informed to make that decision. You should feel empowered to take it.
However, I don't think many people have been correctly informed, because I went on with I'm not joking. I went in, I said I had horrible cramps. They said, here you go. That's your option. Yep. Get on the birth control orally. Bye.
Yep.
That's it.
Same.
And I had to come up with this theory of okay, I think I'm going to go off birth control now. I think that's what I'm going to do because I've heard it's bad. And then I didn't want to stop it because I'm what happens? Oh my God, what's going to happen to me? Is something going to happen to me? Holy shit. But then I realized I never had a normal period without, I had three periods before I went on.
Yep.
That's horrible.
Yeah. You were in this critical time of hormone development yep. and puberty. And
so, yeah.
Yeah. I think that birth control long term, we don't exactly know what it'll do. And right. especially, you know, wherever you're going in, if you're going in with horrible cramps, if you're going in with erratic cycles, coming out on the other end, you mm-hmm. might just revert back to whatever it was. And you never really took the time to fix it. You never really took the time to learn about it. And then you just kind of delayed, you rolled the ball down the hill, you know, you just delayed the inevitable.
That's what I did, literally yeah. verbatim. And so I'm doing it right now. I'm trying to figure it out right now, looking at iron levels, looking at different, my testosterone, all these different levels of everything that through you guys. So, and had I not done my blood work and had I not done a GI map, I would not know what the hell is going on with my body. So staying on the hormone conversation, what are some common maybe imbalances or symptoms you're seeing that are actually connected to hormones? And I know there's probably a gamut. Gosh. I know. Maybe the most common ones, because that's what I'm sure people are going to hear and be like, oh my God, that might be hormones. That's me.
I actually think, and this could be a lot of symptoms that we get. I'll also say that I think with almost every case, there's multiple root causes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had a case where it was all of your symptoms equal one root cause and that was it. There's definitely, everything is intertwined. So yeah. when there's one imbalance, there's going to be multiple. I would say probably hair loss.
Oh, wow.
We get a lot of patients with hair loss. And I actually think that is probably really, I know that it's really hormonally linked. Bloating, whether that is water retention bloating, I think that is very hormonally linked.
Can we talk about that one?
Sure.
Because I hear that a ton, is inflammation and bloating.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about stomach bloating? Are you talking about just face bloating? Because I got a ton of write-ins about both of those things.
All of it.
Hormonal related.
Yes. I think your face, your fingers and your rings not fitting well enough. And I would assume with hormones, we're talking about all the hormones, not yeah. just estrogen and progesterone.
No, yes, yes, all of them.
Cortisol, yes. all of it. Yes, face, fingers. Your cortisol is made from your adrenals, which is also the same organ that helps regulate your salt and mineral balance. And so when you've got adrenal dysfunction, you can get this, your rings just don't fit as well. Mm-hmm. Your stomach feels really bloated. And then as you kind of chill out and maybe the next morning you're waking up and your stomach is flat again and you feel much better. And then throughout the day, you're just retaining so much water, your feet, sock indentions, sock impressions, all of it.
I know so many people that deal with this, and now I'm realizing it could be stress related because it's adrenal gland.
Yep.
Because that's what's, oh my God. I like, that was like a mind blown moment.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm like, I would never have thought of that. I would think, oh, it's food related, or, yeah, you're intolerant to something that you're eating, or I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it could be all of it. I mean, it's a huge web. It definitely could. It could also be, I mean, as it could be something like your, like low blood pressure. Your blood pressure is not high enough to circulate your blood fast enough. And that could cause, you know, swelling in your feet.
But it's the piecing it all together and seeing what's going on.
It's asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. It's literally saying, how does this affect you? You say the word bloating, and it's my job to say, is that gas? Is this water? Okay, it seems like it's water. All right. When is it the worst? When is it the best? What have you tried? Have you ever, you know, I'm not going to recommend you try, you know, a diuretic tea, but have you ever done that? Oh, you have? Oh, okay. Interesting. What did it do to you? Oh, it actually helped. Interesting. Okay, that's a clue. You know, what, when does this get much worse? Oh, it definitely gets worse during dehydration, this part of your cycle. It gets worse, you know, in the afternoon. All of those are clues. And so you could honestly call us health detectives, because we're just following all of the things that you say, piecing them all together and saying, oh, you know, this is actually worse when you're home, but it's better on vacation. Does your house have mold? Let's talk about environment. Let's talk about how, you know, what, maybe what you're being exposed to in your current environment. And so you're just putting all the pieces together and asking the right questions.
Wow. Okay. So those are all connectors. Okay. I'm shuffling because I want to talk about adult acne, another one that I get written in a ton. I'm actually struggling a little bit with it on where my chin right now, like chin area acne. I went into the derm. They suggested spironolactone.
Of course.
They gave me a very, very intense face wash. I mean, like, burnt my eyeballs. Like, my eyeballs were like, oh my God.
Jeez.
Yeah, intense. That, and then there was one other thing, a product that they gave me. I'm totally blanking on what it is. I'll remember what it is. Recommended a bunch of CeraVe, blah, 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 all the things. Well, actually got worse. And, turns out that there's a lot of clogging properties in some of those products, and that it wasn't actually coming from acne. I went into a, person who does facial. So that's an esthetician.
Yep.
She was like, this isn't acne. Your pH balance is off on your face, and it's probably gut related. Or hormonal related. And I was like, what is going on? Why is this a swirl? I can't stand it. So please talk to me about adult acne and what you're seeing in your practice.
I quite honestly, I leave the external stuff to the pros, because I know some really amazing estheticians who will look at your skin and be like, this is a, you know, lipid layer imbalance. This is a pH imbalance. Yep. This is something when it has to do with the, you know, something external. We don't, you know, do or sell any face washes or any of that stuff, because, like, quite honestly, I'm looking at it from the inside. So if it's showing up on your skin, similar to like any other type of like rash or like something that would show up, you're thinking gut, you're thinking, how is this a detox product or a metabolite of a bug fermenting something in your gut somewhere, creating metabolic byproducts, and it's showing up on your skin.
Wow.
So thinking like candida, SIBO, even just like general dysbiosis of the lower intestine. How are those metabolic byproducts showing up on your skin? We're thinking autoimmune or just immune factors in general. Mm-hmm. So how is food affecting you? Is this an autoimmunity like celiac? Celiac can actually show up in like a dermatitis form. Is this a nutrient imbalance? Is this some nutrient that imbalance that the skin can't actually properly turn over? So you really have to like look at it, ask the right questions of when is it showing up? When is it worse? When is it better? And then taking that information and saying, okay, she's got, you know, gas and bloating and she's pooping herself a few times a day, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 times a day. This sounds gut. Let's go there first. And then you look at the gut, you fix whatever needs to be fixed. And then you say, oh, it's still happening. Okay, what's next? Keep going. You know, this might be now food intolerances.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I have a love-hate relationship with food intolerances.
I know. Wait, that's kind of one of the other questions, because a lot of people believe that they have them. I believe that for the longest time I was dairy intolerant. I kind of talked to you about.
Yeah.
Until I saw it on paper, I didn't really believe it. And then can you talk about the marker that we talked about before this? Because it's directly related to my symptoms, my gut bubbling, my gut bloat, my small intestine, like, situation that I had going on.
Yep. The marker that you're referring to on the GI map is the antigliadin IgA. So IgA is an immune system marker that is monitoring your mucosal membranes. So thinking about like the inside of your mouth, the inside of your nose, your gut is also a mucosal membrane on the inside. And so gliadin being gluten protein, that marker says when I eat gluten, when I consume it down my mouth, it will, you're getting this immune system reaction directly on the mucosal membrane. So thinking like direct gut inflammation, and that will happen to every mucosal membrane. So it can create that same immune response in your mouth. You can get mouth sores. You can get, you know, excess salivation. You can get geographic tongue. You can swallow it and you can feel like a throat tickle. You can have hoarseness. It can affect the mucosal membrane in your stomach and you can get gastritis. Back to our favorite word.
Love it. Inflammation.
And the same. And when you have inflammation of the gut and that IgA, that immune system marker, starts to become really high, you are making it a very, very nice environment for bad bacteria to overpopulate and a really bad environment for good bacteria to populate. So you're actually just making it into this like really wonderful home for things like candida, for things like SIBO, the methanobacters and the disulfiram bacteria to really take up residence, because there's so much inflammation and they can thrive there. And things like lactobacillus and bifidobacterium don't have as good of a chance of surviving in those types of environment.
So you're saying like my maybe intolerance to gluten, which we now know, could have been the reason having that like reaction to cause me to have SIBO, which is like the bad bacteria, basically overgrowth is
in
what
your small
it is
intestine.
In my small intestine.
It could be chicken. That's
chicken
a hard
or the egg.
One.
Yes.
Chicken
but
or the
like,
egg.
They're all connected.
They are all connected. It could either have been that SIBO created such, because right, if you have bad bacteria that's then attaching to your small intestine, your immune system's going to see that. Your small intestine is one of the most porous organs in your digestive tract. Your immune system's going to see that, and it's going to try to attack it from the inside through your bloodstream into that intestinal barrier and kill off what's there. So that immune system hyperactivation can cause things like gluten intolerance to, almonds, cashews, intolerance to all sorts of different foods that you would see on a food allergy panel. But then also the flip side of that, you can have the gluten intolerance causing some of the bad bacteria. So you probably won't know the answer to that question until you clear the SIBO out and that comes back negative. And then maybe you do test out gluten one time. You just like try it a little bit, see what happens. If it's a non-celiac gluten intolerance, then try a little bit of gluten, see what happens. And maybe you'll be able to better tolerate it if it was the bacteria versus the gluten first.
Interesting. So it's not an always like that's forever situation.
Right. And that's my love-hate relationship with food intolerance is that I feel like people, what you can control in your life is what you eat, right? Mm-hmm. You can control not eating gluten. Mm-hmm. And so people really, having SIBO is not always something you can control. And so it can be easy for people to say like, I am intolerant to almonds. I will never eat another almond in my entire life. And they become very dogmatic about it. And that's where I want to that's my hate relationship, is because then people are like, it affects their family. It affects their relationships. It affects their mental health that they are so restrictive to this one category of food. And maybe they didn't have to be.
Yeah.
And if they could have just like really, investigated a little bit further, and maybe you did work on the immune system as a whole and healed the gut lining and then retried it and see what happened. I do feel like there's a little bit of
It's a love hate.
It is a love hate.
So because a lot of people, I think they think, okay, I'm going to take a food intolerance test to start my, journey on my better health.
Yep.
What testing should someone go to first? And then what should be secondary? Because I hear a lot of people that are like, where'd you do your, food intolerance test? I'm like, well, I did it here at X. but I already was going to you guys.
Yep.
You know, it was kind of simultaneous, and actually I should have done the blood work first and the GI mapping test first,
yep.
So, et cetera. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, you hit that right on. I actually think that food intolerance testing should be one of the last things that you do on your journey.
Okay.
Because if there is any sort of other immune system activation from bad bacteria, from histamine intolerance, from environmental allergens, you're going to have that really high immune system stimulation from everything that's around you. If you're in a house full of mold, you're going to have so much immune system activation from everything around you. You are going to have what I call lovingly like the bystander effect. You know, mm-hmm. you eat broccoli while you're in this huge histamine flare, and your immune system is going to see that. It's going to see that broccoli, and it's going to respond to it. And then it will probably show up on that food intolerance test, and then you're getting bad information. So if you actually do the food intolerance testing last, and you are, you know, working through mold, MCAS, histamine, you're working through Lyme or other co-infections, yeah. or other chronic infections, you're working through SIBO and other GI map related, even SIBO testing related things. And you can kind of, I won't say fix all of that, because I do think that in some ways health is a moving target, but you can really get those under control, mm-hmm. then do the food intolerance test. You're getting the best information. It's gonna be the most accurate information, and then you can actually do something about it.
Okay. I want to ask about constipation, because that was written in a lot. What is that telling when someone says, I have constipation?
Constipation is a motility, for the most part, is a motility issue. So your GI is not moving through as fast as it should be. And that is also connected to your nervous system. So if your nerves are innervating, your vagus nerve specifically innervating your intestines and making that peristaltic moment, that movement forward. And so if you're looking at constipation, yes, you're looking at bacteria and gut lining health and all the things, but you're also looking at the nervous system and saying, okay, how is that brain innervating with the gut, and is it moving through, and is it blocked for other reasons? So coming back, there's a whole deep dive. I'm sure there's a TikTok deep dive on vagal nerve tone.
I'm sure there is. You're talking a lot about like sleep and stress. And
yes.
I was going to ask you, how can we better balance our hormones? And I'm sure there's an answer tied between the two. So why don't we just move them together? Like, how can we better balance our hormones?
Yeah, I think that the easy things that you can find that you don't need me for are going to be the fundamentals of health. You are getting enough water. You're getting enough water with, if you need electrolyte replacement, mineral replacement, you're getting proper hydration, and you're taking that water in. If you drink a whole, 40 ounces of water, and then an hour later you're peeing out 40 ounces or more of water, you're not retaining that. That's just moving right through you. So actually properly, retaining the water you're drinking. You're getting quality sleep. So people will say that 5 hours is enough. I don't think 5 hours is enough.
Who says that?
Yeah. Entrepreneur world the world that I am in.
Yeah.
So getting proper sleep. So yes, people will say I get 8 hours a night, but I think something that Aura and like Whoop, and I don't know what Whoop's backend looks like, but some of these wearables is telling us how many cycles of deep sleep you're getting. And you should be getting between 4 and 5 deep sleep cycles per night. And they are going to be front loaded. You want most of those to be front loaded between the time you fall asleep until, after midnight, beginning of the morning type of deal. But you're getting all of those cycles per night. And if that takes you 8 hours to do, then you need 8 or more. If it's taking you 10 hours to do, we can work on some insomnia and hormone stuff. Mm-hmm. But so getting quality sleep.
Yep.
Eating properly. So I am very much 80-20. I have eaten Chick-fil-A in the past month. Like it's life.
I've lived. Yep.
I also have a 4 and 2-year-old. We went to Spain and ended up having to eat McDonald's like 3 times because they didn't really recognize
too much
the food.
Paella.
Yeah, yep. They didn't recognize paella. The 4-year-old loved paella, but the 2-year-old did not.
Oh.
And so we're like, you just do what you have to do, but you're looking at your menu for the week and you're saying, how many vegetable servings am I getting per week? I'm eating quality protein, and you're getting that protein from good sources.
Yes.
And so really the fundamentals of health you don't need B for, because you can. There's so much good information out there on what is proper for the fundamentals, meditation, stress control, your boss is breathing down your throat, get another effing job.
No,
am
literally.
I allowed to cuss on here?
Yes, like, of course you are. Yes, I've flicked the camera off. I've said shit. I'm like the swearer, so don't you worry. People know listening, they're like, yep, Sid's got a potty mouth. I'm okay. Like, you know what?
I
can't
too.
Help it, okay?
I've been very toned.
You've been very PG.
I've been very
so
PG.
Impressive.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not usually PG, so.
Well, that seems so measurable and not easy to activate because it's changing a lifestyle. But like easy, I can go and do that right now.
Right.
And I think that's where I was too. And I'm bringing back always to me just in this because I've gone through it. I've had the issues. I level set it. I was like, I'm going to get more sleep. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to get my health under wraps. I'm not going to do 9 million stressful workouts a week. You know what I mean? Yep. I can't be doing that. It's got to be balanced. And then I realized I was still having symptoms. And that's when I came in to see you guys.
Exactly. Then like the next level of that is listening to the symptoms that you're still having. If drinking enough water had cleared up your acne, we wouldn't be talking about your acne now because you would have already found out the answer. And like, you don't need to pay me to do that. No. So, that's where looking at your stress cycles, we had kind of touched on cortisol and stress management.
I do want to talk about that right now. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I actually see people more with low cortisol than I do high cortisol. I think that's a really big common misconception. I hear it all the time on social media and I used to respond back and I just kind of gotten tired and old. It's people will say, oh, my cortisol must be so high. I am so stressed. I'm so anxious. I can't sleep at night. My cortisol must be sky high. And really what happens in physiology is that your cortisol can only be sky high for so long unless there is like an outside source that you're getting, right? If you are hitting your albuterol inhaler 3 times a day, that is an exogenous source of corticosteroids. Your cortisol is probably high. If you are, you know, have Cushing's disease or you have some sort of, you know, adrenal imbalance or brain imbalance, you can have, you know, high cortisol longer than a few months. But if you stay in that really high stress state for longer than a few months, your body cannot handle that level. High cortisol can suppress your immune system. It will change your neurotransmitters.
Oh, wow.
And so your body just doesn't let you sit that high for that long. It will start to compensate. And so in the morning time, when you wake up between, you know, 7 and 10 a.m. is when you're going to have this peak of cortisol. First thing in the morning, your body will actually start to lower that value. So if we want it to be between like 16 and 20 on blood labs between 8 and 10 a.m.
Yeah.
If you are in that high stress for so long, now we've moved into this like that stage 1 adrenal fatigue. If we've moved into this stage 2 adrenal fatigue, that 16 will become 14, will become 12. And so that is your body's way of saying, all right, if this girl goes to work and gets yelled at, now her cortisol is going to go from a 12 to, you know, maybe a 16 versus a 16 to a 25.
Okay.
So it really is protecting you from hurting yourself. And then if you keep going and you keep pushing and pushing, that 12 is going to become a 10, is going to become a 9, 8, 7. When I graduated after 4 years of med school, I was a 6.
Holy shit, that's low.
I can tell you at a 6, I was immensely depressed. I had also just lost my grandma and that didn't really help things, but I was very depressed. I could barely get out of bed. I was not motivated to do anything. I actually was launching our business during, as soon as I had graduated, and I felt miserable and it was really hard. And I remember trying to, after I took boards, there's this like little window where you can't practice because you don't have your board scores back, but you're kind of in this like limbo. During that limbo, I was sleeping until probably noon every single day. My husband would go to work at 7 a.m. and he would call me at 8. He would call me at 9 and 10 and be like, are you okay? Are you feeling better? Are you ready to get up? Do you think that you can get up now? And I'm like, no. My body was just...
I'm exhausted.
It was done. So did some intense like herbals, did some intense stress management and really worked on improving my cortisol levels back up to its normal limits. And I can tell you on the flip side of that, it's marvelous. It's miraculous.
You feel completely different.
You feel completely different.
And you focused in on that.
Yes.
I mean, are you seeing people that are coming in that are feeling constantly tired? Because that's the write-ins I got. Constantly tired or...
Yes.
You know, feeling depressed, like you're talking about, or anxious.
I actually, I love to distinguish between what is actually I'm sad and depressed and I'm hopeless in life and I'm so tired that I don't feel motivated to do anything. A lack of motivation because you're so exhausted and you can't exercise. It's difficult to make good food choices. That to me is more adrenal fatigue and that exhaustion and burnout than it is true actually DSM depression. And because when you are that low in cortisol, it actually will change how your dopamine is output in your brain. And low dopamine output makes you want to be socially isolated from your friends. It makes you want to be socially isolated from going out and doing things. It basically forces your brain to get dopamine hits from other sources like sugar, like drugs, like alcohol, like gambling.
Shopping.
TikTok shop, I've heard, is like a big thing.
Yep.
And I've like shopping addiction. That. Yeah. And so your brain is forced to get this dopamine hit from other places than its intrinsic production. And so having low cortisol can not only like mess with your immune system, mess with your hormonal output. It can basically tell your body, this person is, we're putting this human in hibernation, like put her in a cryo tank. We'll wake her up in 20 years. It can shut down ovulation. It can make you gain massive amounts of weight because your body doesn't actually know when it's how to calorically balance itself. And your body is ultimately going to keep you alive. It is going to keep your flesh alive.
And it'll figure out how to do
it. It will figure out how to do it. And if that means putting pounds on your body, so it has this, you know, known quantity of calories that it can burn if you, the human, stop going out and feeding it, then it will do that. And low cortisol is, I mean, that's huge. Weight gain, fatigue, and like irregular cycles, all of it, symptoms of low cortisol.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. The body is such a powerful living creature. It's just weird. It is crazy because it's ours, but we think we're in control of it.
But in some ways, like there's so much built in that is intrinsic and innate to your flesh that you have no control over.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You know, a lot of people had also written in about energy levels in perimenopause, menopause in general.
Yep.
Do you have anything we can leave them with too? Just because I wanted to get to that, but I'm like, I'm going to have to do a whole episode on those stages of life.
Yes.
And I can't wait to dive in, but just something we can have to give to them.
Testosterone. Look at your testosterone levels, because we talk about testosterone in early 20s and things as being really negative for like things like PCOS, androgenic acne, et cetera. Mm-hmm. In that later stage of life where your receptors are not as sensitive to testosterone to get that androgenic acne and whatnot, testosterone levels will tank, especially when 25% of production of testosterone is in the ovaries themselves. So as you're going through perimenopause and your ovarian function is kind of winding down, you're going to lose testosterone that you innately make. 25% is made from the adrenals. So now you have an exhausted 45-year-old female who's going through perimenopause who just lost 50% of her testosterone production. Testosterone gets a big masculine rap it is the backbone of a male person's physiology, but testosterone is motivation. It's ambition. It's fire. It's drive. It's focus, it's motivation, and it is energy. It's great. Women should be talked to about testosterone and how to support that in perimenopause. It will make you feel like you're on cloud nine.
I just think that there's so much information out there that is not shared and not known. And it's like, I want to just give everybody so much information that it's like, it's hard for me because I'm like, oh, I just want you to know these things.
I know.
And I will say with all of this, and you're talking about like what to look at and what you can help on your own, there is an immediate connect between I have to make the effort and I'm going to get the help from you. And I don't want those to stray away from each other because I'm taking like SIBO, like supporting supplements that are going to get rid of that SIBO, right? They're going to flush it out of my system. But if I don't pull away from the gluten that I know that's upsetting my system and I don't keep, you know, getting my general like motion in my body, like moving the body, making sure I'm actually getting sleep and improving my deep sleep.
Yep.
Like, everything is just going to go out of whack again.
Yep.
So that's what with integrative medicine, like I've noticed out of my experience is that I have to make the effort too. I just can't get a like a magic pill. Yes. That's going to be like, yay, you're solved and you're clear. Goodbye. Like, no, it doesn't
work like
that.
I'll take like a 1 second side story to say, like, from the business owner aspect of it, you know, I'm always thinking about retention and why do people not come back? And, you know, you always think, okay, maybe it's my fault or maybe it's something that we did. And it definitely could be in some cases. But I think one thing that I've noticed is people don't come back when the new and shiny wears off. Because you go to your conventional doc and you're like, I've got reflux. They're going to give you omeprazole. Your reflux is probably going to go away and you don't have to think about it anymore. And you didn't really have to do anything. You didn't have to change your diet. You didn't have to exercise. You didn't have to do anything. It's like you come to me and you tell me you have reflux. I'm going to change your diet. I'm going to give you some supplements. I'm going to do some testing. And ultimately, I'm going to give you a plan that almost 100% of the plan you have to do. And I don't really have to do anything. And so I think that once that motivation, you know, that January 1st of everyone's going to the gym and by March, everyone's not going anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same in integrative medicine. And I think we need a paradigm shift of conventional care. But when you come into my world and you come into this integrative space, it's all you. And we have to figure out ways to make you maintain that motivation and maintain that new and shiny and keep you going forward, because I really, on my end, I don't do much. You are healing yourself. You are literally healing yourself. And that's the cool part about it. And that's what everyone talks about. And they want that. But you just hit on it. At the end of the day, the healing yourself is doing it yourself.
It can be frustrating or it can be empowering. And I think that's pretty empowering because
life's
I've already
gonna
seen
go
it.
Through ups and downs too. So at some points it's going to be very empowering and you're going to be very excited about it. You're going to hit a low point and a hard point. And I think as your partner too, you can call me, you can come back in and we can talk about, I'm at this hard point and I need you to kick me in the pants. I need you to light some fire under my ass. Like, I need something and I can help you with that. I am your partner. I'm not just here to give you some supplements and send you out the door. Like, I can be there for you in that ways as well.
Oh my God. I love that. I love the way you put that too. I need to wrap because I have a meeting. I know. I'm like, oh, I hate this because I want to ask 900 more questions, but that just means we'll probably have to have a part two. And I'm going to ask you after this about a part two. So I want to ask one more thing because I ask every single guest that I have on this. What's one piece of information that you cannot live well without?
I'm a very objective human being. It's like a pro and a con. I can see all shades of gray. I'm not very black and white. And I believe that everyone comes into your life for a different purpose and they are giving you information. And like, you go to your conventional doc and they tell you that they give you a few clues and they tell you everything is fine. I just accept with gratitude and say, okay, thank you. That is like, in this moment, that is what I needed. Even if it was a terrible encounter, a terrible experience, everyone comes into your life to teach you something. And then you take that information, you reconcile it with yourself, you push it through your intuition. Is this real for me? Is this not real for me? Is this for someone else? And then you move on to the next and you stick with the things that really you intuitively, intrinsically know are for you and your truth, and you keep going with it. I think a lot of patients I get are, you know, I was so wronged by my doctor. I was so wronged from this person and I will never go back to conventional med. I will not go back to that cardiologist. I will not go back to that person. And I always like to just say, they were there for something. They taught you something. They taught you that you don't like being talked to like that. They taught you, you know, that you've got this valve insufficiency and you should thank them. You don't need to thank them to their face. Honestly, you just need to thank them internally and say, thank you for giving me that information. I'm going to move on. Because harboring all of those is going to stop you from making good decisions in the future. So just, you know, taking the information, is it for me? Is it not for me? Does this sit well with me? And then moving on.
Yeah. Processing. Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask one last question just because I want it for myself too, because I think you're just like a load of knowledge and I'm like, ooh, I love this. What's one piece of health advice that you can't live well without? Like anything that someone could do right now, anyone could do, and it will hopefully cause such a great ripple effect.
Nervous system regulation and whatever that looks like. I know that there's so many facets to nervous system regulation. You know, big ones are going to be meditation, PMEF mats, and like laying on those like grounding electrons from the earth. Mm-hmm. I think however you need to regulate your nervous system, you should do it and really focus in on it. I'm now a parent and I can tell when I am dysregulated because I am snappy. I am bitchy. I just fly off the handle and I make really incredibly terrible decisions that I don't mean. And it always roots back to there's something like in my nervous system that I am just out of whack, whether that's magnesium, whether I need to get an adjustment, whether I need to go to a float tank, whether I need to go, you know, in some lay on my PMEF mat, like in some way I need to like get my nervous system back in check, because that's
what you're feeling.
That's what I'm feeling.
Thank you for being here. This has been so unbelievably cool. And I'm not going to lie, I might ask you to do a part 2 like ASAP about the things we didn't hit, the PCOS, the
perimenopause,
premenopause, you know, I mean, all the stages of menopause, because we don't know what we don't know. No one knows what's going on with that. I mean, well, really, truly, until you're in it, and then you don't know.
Our moms were told not to take BHRT because of its cancer causing properties. And even just 2023, last year, there was the big NAEM study that came out that said, like, stop fucking telling people that estrogen causes cancer. It doesn't cause cancer. You can even give it to people who have estrogen sensitive cancers as a personal risk. Stop fucking telling people that it causes cancer, because you're telling people that they can't have a potentially life-saving therapeutic.
I can't with the misinformation. It's like, Jesus. But it's like, I get a lot of write-ins about that too. And I want to go and dive deep into it, like full on deep, like
let's do it.
PCOS. Periods, like, and then premenopause, oh my gosh, all of the stages. So we're going to do that. And I think that's going to be awesome.
Let's do it.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you, where they can come see you, where they can come to your practice if they can't see you, or they can connect with you, all the things.
So you can connect with us through Minneapolis Integrative Medicine Center. We are on Instagram, MPLS Integrative MC. I have a professional Instagram that I like dabble in sometimes, dr.cassiewilder. And, you know, we love to connect through Instagram and social media. We find that that is the best place where we can give just broad health tips and just inform and educate people about there's another way of approaching health and another way of approaching medicine. And I am not taking on new patients, but our clinic is full of amazing, wonderful, critically thinking, outside the box, empathetic, kind, caring human beings.
Yep.
And they wouldn't be there if they weren't that.
So. And I can attest to that, everybody. I go there. I actually do. And I love it. And I've gone there many a times. And that's why I decided to have this episode, because I've lived it and I understand your frustrations. I understand the feeling of not knowing what the hell's going on with your body. So go figure it out. thank you for being here. Load of like just knowledge and information and empathy. So I appreciate that so much. And you're hilarious. You guys, as always, give me a call if you need something. And especially if you're listening to this and it's related to the episode that was going to come out that we want to do next, call me 612-470-7569. You can write in, you can always DM me, but I'm not as quick to that because it's just a lot. I still need to live my life. Let me know how I can help you if you've got episode ideas or anything like that. Otherwise, I might see you at Minneapolis Integrative Medicine. Who knows? Maybe I'll see you in the office. They got good tea in the lobby, I'll tell you that.
We do.
Love you. Appreciate you. And as always, thank you for sharing your story so that I can bring these informational and exciting conversations to life. Appreciate you. Thank you, Dr. Wild. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.